This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you, no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, whether it's West Coast, East Coast, somewhere in between, there are heroes around you. There are men and women who have done remarkable things and endured some crazy situations for the sake of our freedom. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we sure do learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, oftentimes inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. And every year about this time, I like to focus on something that America vowed to never forget. December 7th, 1941, a day that has lived in infamy. And we're going to hear from a man who was there at Pearl Harbor that day. But we're going to start before that because Russell Winsett grew up in Hamilton, Alabama. Tell me about Hamilton, Alabama. What was it like growing up there in the 20s and 30s?
Well, there was a little farm town. About all we had there was farmers. We had a few merchants that run the town. I went to high school there, Hamilton High School. Played football and basketball there. I was 20 years old. I says to my dad, I'm going to help you get this harvest, this crop, and I'm leaving. I says, I'm going to service. So me and two buddies went to Birmingham, signed up. Went for a physical, I got turned down. I had albumin of the kidneys, whatever that is, I don't know. But anyway, they sent me home, and those two guys went on. And believe it or not, I never seen or heard from them again. But I heard that they both got killed in action. But a week later, I went back for physical, and I passed, and I went right to Norfolk, Virginia for my boot camp. And after that, it's all history.
I guess so. They assigned you to a ship. What was that ship called?
USS Pennsylvania. It's a battleship.
And folks maybe have read about the Pennsylvania or heard about it. It was there in Pearl Harbor on December
7th. Right. We were in dry dock, and they strafed us and dropped a couple of bombs. We lost quite a few men, but I survived, and I was on a machine gun.
Well, tell me about that ship. Because this is the first ship you've been on. I mean, here you are. You grew up on a farm in Alabama. I imagine there weren't a whole lot of big battleships around Alabama.
None at all.
So what was it like being a young man and getting used to this big old hunk of iron?
Well, everybody else on there was in the same boat. most all of them were new ones. But I got accustomed to it pretty quick. It didn't take me long.
Did you think that war was coming? Were you prepared?
Had no idea. I don't think anybody did.
How much training had you guys actually had on the defenses of the ship?
Oh, we had training every day just about.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of training did you receive? What were you prepared to do?
I was on a machine gun.
50 caliber?
50 caliber machine gun. Mm-hmm. I was up on the foremast because, as you know, the Pennsylvania had two big masts. And I was on the foremast in a nest way the hell up in the sky. And it had stops on those guns so you couldn't shoot the guy next door. And it only had a certain area you could shoot.
The range of motion was limited, so
right.
You couldn't inadvertently
right.
shoot your own ship, sure. So you got into the Navy thinking, hey, this is a good way to earn a living. This is going to be an adventure. You weren't necessarily thinking, hey, there's going to be a battle to fight at some point.
No way. And I wasn't even thinking of retirement.
And I'm sure once you got to Hawaii, that was a pretty fun place for a young man from Alabama go and see.
It sure was. I loved it. But, you know, it's funny, the correspondence between my parents and he's a second cousin of mine, a guy by the name of Pope, last name is Pope. He lived over there with his wife and two kids. And he was on a ship. He was out at sea when they hit Pearl Harbor. But the family was okay. And we had a lot of good times together, touring the islands and all. It's real nice. I loved Hawaii.
Kind of lead me into how that all unfolded from your perspective on that Sunday morning. Had you been up late the night before?
Well, our Liberty was up at, I don't know, 10 o'clock or something at night. But since we was in dry dock, we couldn't use the facilities on the ship. We had to go out on the dock. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I went out there to shave and shower and change clothes and all. That's when I, walking down the dock, I heard the siren to go off, you know, battleship, man your station. Mm-hmm. And that's when I rushed aboard ship and went up to my machine gun nest. Lo and behold, ammunition boxes were locked. And I said, I'm not going to climb that ladder back down and back up to get the keys. So I took a, what they call a dog wrench. It was a pipe about this long and broke a lock. Lo and behold, some young ensign in the Navy, he wanted to put me on report for destroying government property.
He didn't think Japanese planes coming overhead and bombing you guys was a good enough excuse. Huh?
Right. So, anyway, the captain saw that what the report was, and he just shook his head, told it and some beat it.
So you heard the signal for general quarters. You get to your machine gun. Had you seen planes in the sky? Did you know what was happening, or was this just chaotic?
Well, all I could hear a lot, bombing and everything, guns shooting, but I had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to some Pearl Harbor survivors who said, you know, their impression was it was exercises. It was some kind of practice that the Americans were doing.
Right.
But you had an idea from all the noise you were hearing that this is for real.
This is for real because where we sat in dry dock was up above most of them in the water, you know. You could see a lot, but I knew it wasn't no drill. I knew it was for real.
So you man that 50 caliber machine gun. You bust open the ammunition box so you actually have something to shoot at them. And then what are you shooting at? What are you seeing as you look out on that scene?
Well, actually, I couldn't see too much because you had a band around you to hold you up to the gun. And I couldn't see much except when the plane would come in my scope there. I didn't know what was going on. I could hear a lot, and it was pretty scary.
As far as what that looked like, the number of planes that were coming through, or how much time you had to react if you actually saw something, I imagine there's probably nothing that could prepare you for that.
Well, you figure you see two or three come over and are strafing, you knew there's going to be more, so we just sit and wait for them. That's all we can do.
How close did those planes come to where you were?
I'd say some of them 100 feet, come right over the bow of the ship.
You could see markings on those Japanese planes?
Oh, yeah. I could even see the pilot with a Japanese grin.
You could see the face of the pilot?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that was a long time ago, long, long time ago. What did that feel like to be in that situation? Because now we look back and everybody knows, well, Pearl Harbor happened December 7th, 1941. But I can't imagine the feelings that must have been going through you because it was so unexpected for you.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Believe it or not, I never got scared until it was all over.
Hmm.
Because it really didn't have time to get scared.
How long do you think you were there in that position continuing to man that machine gun?
Oh, probably a couple of hours.
Did it feel like longer?
Felt like all day.
Yeah, I bet. Did you come close to hitting anything?
Well, I could see it, because on these belts that was ammunition was in, every fourth one was a tracer, so
right.
You could see where they were shooting. And I don't know if I sank any planes or not, but I shot any down, but I sure as hell hit a lot of them.
So you could see that you were scoring some hits.
Right.
And if you're firing away at this gun, I know the whole purpose of them being there is firing at you guys too.
Right.
How close did some of that incoming stuff come to where you were?
I really couldn't say, because most of the damage was in back. I was up forward and it was in the back of the ship, and I don't really know what damage was done back there.
Well, I imagine you're so dialed in on trying to see what's in front of you and fire some ammunition that way that you don't have time to look back.
That's right.
And you just said that you didn't get scared till it was all over.
Right.
How did you know it was all over?
Well, they sounded the alarm. It was all over.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I climbed down out of my machine gun nest and went down below and saw them bringing people by that was in stretchers and all. It was pretty sad.
Had you gotten to know many men aboard that ship?
At the time, actually only people in my division. Because there, if believe it or not, if you were caught outside of your division, that guy put you to work. So we stayed pretty much in one compartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew quite a few people, and most of the people in my division I knew. Outside of that, I hardly knew anybody.
I bring it up because I'm just curious if you lost anyone that day that you had become acquainted with.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine, he was from Orlando or somewhere down here in Florida, and he was the ship's photographer. And he had climbed up a leg of the mast. They had ladders on it, and they climbed up there to get pictures. And they shot him right off, killed him. That hurt me bad.
When did you start to grasp the magnitude of what happened there that day? Not just with your ship, but the entirety of
it. Well, really, that happened about 8 o'clock in the morning. So after that, you had time to look around. And I'd say a couple of hours, you know, you could see the damage had been done. And you knew there was a lot of lives lost because those ships rolled over and were bombed and everything. A lot of people lost.
Can you paint a picture for us of what it looked like from your vantage point as you scanned the horizon, what you could see?
Well, it'd be kind of hard to describe. But out across the bay, or channel rather, we saw ships laying close to each other. Some collapsed, some on fire. It was quite a deal there.
You could see smoke in the air?
Oh, yeah. Smoke and flames. And you could smell bodies burning. That wasn't good.
And I imagine that lingered for a while. It took a while to clean
all that up. Yeah.
What were the hours and the days, maybe even that week after that attack? What was that like to be there for all of that? What kinds of things did you see and experience?
They kept us pretty busy trying to get the ship back in ship shape. And they had our ship in dry dock was almost completed. All they needed was to put two screws on. They did that and flooded the dry dock. And we got on underway a week later and went back to the States.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered? I mean, I just think about the ships that were sunk that day. Those ships that were on Battleship Row. I'm just guessing that had you guys not been in dry dock, you would have been on Battleship Row?
That's right. Either they're out at sea, so I guess we were pretty fortunate.
Could have been a lot worse for the Pennsylvania?
Oh, God, yeah. If we'd have been underway or tied up there in the docks, we'd have been a lot worse.
What was the hardest thing for you to swallow as you saw and heard the stories and smelled that you just described? And soaked in all these different things there in the aftermath of that attack. What was the hardest thing for you to come to grips with?
Well, the loss of life, mostly. That was hard to take. Because I thought that could have been me as well as those guys, you know.
Sure.
That was pretty hard to swallow.
How did it make you feel about the enemy?
Hatred. And it's still there.
I imagine there were a few things said about that among the ship's crew.
Oh, yeah. Lots.
Everyone that, you know, that wasn't at Pearl Harbor that I talked to, I asked them how they found out about Pearl Harbor. And most of them say, well, we heard the president's address on the radio. Did you guys hear any of that?
No.
In the years since, when you hear that speech, you hear the resolve reflected in that speech and the determination that this is what America's going to do. How does that make you feel?
Well, feel pretty good when they figure they're going to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And believe you me, we did something about it.
You sure did, and I want to hear about it, but it's time for our first break. When we come back, we'll listen to some of President Roosevelt's speech from December 1941, and we'll explore more of Pearl Harbor survivor Russell Winsett's experiences in World War II. But as we head to these messages, how about a taste of a relevant song that was pretty popular 70 years ago, courtesy of the Sammy Kay Orchestra.
History in every century records an act that lives forevermore. We'll recall, as into line we fall, the thing that happened on Hawaii shore. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
You know, one of the things I appreciate so much about the veterans we meet on Hometown Heroes is that they're real. A sincere and genuine spirit really makes an impression on me, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Educational Employees Credit Union. It was EECU that spearheaded the launch of Central Valley Honor Flight with an initial donation of close to $25,000, and the giving did not end there. More than 200,000 members know EECU represents smarter banking, but it's not just about being smart, it's about the heart. I've worked with the folks at EECU for years, and I've watched them put their money where their mouth is, supporting their credit union members right where they live in hometowns up and down Central California. From sponsoring first-class Educator of the Year ceremonies to taking the lead in sending World War II veterans on an unforgettable journey, my friends at EECU keep proving that you are at the heart of everything they do. Go to myeecu.org to see what EECU can do for you, or just walk into any branch. And while you're there, if you enjoy this show, tell them thanks for supporting Hometown Heroes.